Welcome to Walking in Wisdom. The purpose of this broadcast is to take a close look at the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. Our goal is to heed the exhortation of Proverbs 2, 1 through 6, which reads, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." So I hope your Bible is open and you're ready to apply your heart to understanding with me today. In this study, I'll generally be using the New King James Version of the Bible and most frequently working with the Masoretic Hebrew text. And today we get to begin our study with Proverbs 1, 2 through 4, which read, "To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion." I'd like to start by drawing your attention to the verbs in verses 2, 3, and 4. Those verbs are to know, to receive, and to give. The word Hebrew word translated to know is the word yada and generally means an intimate knowledge. In fact, this word is used as the normal Hebrew word for describing sexual intimacy or euphemism thereof. When it comes to knowing something like wisdom, as it is here, it's not just knowing about wisdom, but also knowing how to live and apply wisdom. It's knowing in the sense of knowing it deeply and knowing it truly. Like the way you know how to change your oil after having done it for 50 years, not just having watched a YouTube video on it. This greater sense of knowing is not like Alice in Disney's Alice in Wonderland, who says, "I give myself very good advice, but I very seldom follow it." While the Hebrew concept of wisdom is more broad, the goal is to have practical ability to know the truth and apply it in any and every situation. The word translated to receive is the verb lekach, which means to take down or to receive. It is an active verb here in the infinitive, so it's not just to passively receive something thrown at you or handed to you, but to take something unto oneself as an act of will. The verb to give translates the Hebrew verb natan, which gives the purpose that the study of this book makes available, the wisdom of God. This being an offer to change our thinking and our state. These three wonderful things made available that we might know, that we might receive or take down, and that we might be given the wisdom of God are of the utmost importance. And what these three verbs bring to life goes back to a college literature professor of mine who once said, "There are gifted mathematicians and musicians, virtuosos in medicine and art, but there's no such thing as a born writer. Everyone has to learn to write well." His assertion is certainly reasonable for the craft of writing, but is even better applied to the concept of wisdom. There's not a single one of us that is born wise. In fact, Proverbs 22:15 tells us correctly that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The point is clear. Wisdom must be learned, practiced, acquired. It is native to no sinful human heart, as we will see. This is why this book is so critical to growth and development of any human life. All we have to work with naturally is our own darkened understanding. Make no mistake, if you have not learned wisdom from God's word, you can only be a fool. This has nothing to do with intelligence or natural ability as we think of it, and everything to do with putting yourself in a right relationship to God and his word. With that in mind, let's return to the verses to find out what can be known with this practical, intimate knowledge. First, we're told that what can be known is wisdom. The Hebrew word chachma can mean skill, wisdom, shrewdness, or prudence. It can have a specific sphere. One can be wise in the art of war, or wise in making music, or skilled in that sense, or in the general sphere as being a quality of a person's character. One of my favorite definitions for wisdom is to be skilled at the art of living. There's so much to manage in life. Our diet, our health, our finances and relationships, our relationship with God, our family, our work. learning how to excel in our work and be productive and even excellent at whatever the Lord has equipped us to do. The Word of God, and the book of Proverbs in particular, gives us critical insight on how to live well. It gives us the knowledge and the background that we need in order to make right choices that will bring forth the best potential or possible life that we can live. This is a wonderful and powerful promise of this book. In fact, the regular and steady study of the Proverbs of God will bring forth the ability to make correct and wise choices in every situation. It is not just information for our spiritual life and our direct walk with or relationship with God. It is information that will help us in every sphere and every aspect of our life, which is why the first 9 chapters of this book are dedicated chiefly to helping us understand the incredible value and need for wisdom. Because if we don't value it, then we won't pursue it. If we don't pursue it, then we won't perceive it. If we don't perceive it, then we cannot apply it. And we're doomed to live lives of foolishness, of fallow waste. And that is not God's desire for our lives. And so he's preserved this wisdom for us. Musar is the Hebrew word translated instruction. And here it means correction. When talking about a parent, it often gives a picture of an admonition or discipline. One of the most frustrating parts of raising a child is watching him do something wrong. While it would be easy to correct his error, pride keeps him from listening. This pride causes the child difficulty and the parent sorrow. This book is loaded with this kind of instruction, the kind that we need to live life correctly. But just like the child in the illustration, it means we must have the humility to realize that we might be doing it wrong. Nay, we are probably doing it wrong until we can hold what we're doing up to the true standard of the wisdom of God as revealed in this marvelous book. The phrase to perceive translates the Hebrew word bin, which is in the Hifil, which makes the word causative. So the study of this book will give the person or cause a person to have the ability to see the words of understanding. There is a great deal to do with sight and perception when it comes to wisdom. If we cannot see clearly, we cannot make the best choice. When we do see clearly, making the right choice becomes much easier. The study of this book of Proverbs gives us the ability to see clearly what we need to put understanding in within our grasp. In other words, it enables us to see things and relationships between those things and hold those in perspective so that we might make a wise choice. What is perceived here are the utterances, and the word here means utterance, of understanding. This word carries the idea of intelligence. Now, in the modern world, we think of intelligence as a set value in the life of a person, much like height or strength or hair color. We even have an IQ measurement or an IQ test that suggests that your intelligence is something that is inbuilt into your person or your genetics, and you cannot really substantially affect what goes in. And while I'm not suggesting that that doesn't have some merit or validity, what I would suggest is that idea of intelligence is foreign to the Word of God, because the focus of the Word of God is not just on the inset ability of a person, but the focus is on what one would choose to do with that. That is to say, in the biblical conception, intelligence is something a person can have or not have, gain or lose, advance in or let slip away. In other words, while the modern world focuses on crystallizing what is already there, the Bible presents a world where you are only as intelligent as what knowledge you are growing in and actually applying to your life, which means you might think of yourself as a bright and intelligent person or think of someone who lacks natural intelligence, and yet all the Word of God presents is an opportunity for growth in that intelligence which God has made available to you. Coming to verse 3, we find the Hebrew parallelism, that is to say, that repetition of ideas in play. This repetition, as always, gives us a greater clarity of what is meant. And while the same word for instruction is used, a different word is used and translated wisdom. This Hebrew word, sachal carries the idea of perception and walking in a way that is circumspect in relationship to reality. It is the prudence of perspective that brings prosperity, and it is to be found in this wonderful book of Proverbs. The next three words in Hebrew are tzedek, mishpat, and maishar. Tzedek is related to the idea of righteousness and is correctly responding and understanding what is right and wrong as an objective reality. You see, in the biblical concept, righteousness and what is right and wrong is not merely subject to change due to culture or situation, but has to do with the very character and righteousness of God. And it takes biblical wisdom to perceive what is tzedek, which is righteous, what is righteous, and act righteously as well. Mishpat is the word for a judgment and holds the objective idea that there's correct judgment that is available to the one who listens to God's wisdom. Maishar holds the image of evenness or straightness of a way. It gives the idea of understanding, viewing things in a way that is fair and impartial, that spreads evenly over all parts. And as any parent or human knows, justice or fairness, equity, can be the most difficult thing to come across, and that is because we lack such wisdom and lack knowledge in so many situations. And yet what we find is that as we come to know the character of God, and we come to know the wisdom of God through this word, then we will be able to make decisions that are fair and equitable and impartial, because of the wisdom which God alone provides. Verse 4 tells us what this study can give us. The King James Version translates this as subtlety, and I like that translation. The word arma can mean shrewd and prudent or crafty and deceptive, and I think subtlety walks that line very well. It can have that positive meaning or the negative. Well, the positive meaning is clearly in view here and brings to mind the Lord's admonition in Matthew 10:16 that we should be wise as serpents, yet innocent as doves, knowing when to move shrewdly. When to use tact in various situations is a key to having success and having successful relationships. Knowing what to say and when to say it, knowing how to say what it is that needs to be said, is often more important than saying the correct thing. Because a true thing and something that needs to be said, said in the wrong way, will often have the precise opposite effect as is desired. It is this shrewdness, it is this subtlety that must be learned in order for us to have successful life and relationships. This subtlety is now available to the simple person, and this word simple brings out the idea of the silly or the naive. I really liked this definition given by Gesenius, which included the idea of being easily persuaded, or we might say fooled. Read here, however, everyone apart from the wisdom of God. There's no hope of wisdom apart from God, and we are all easily deceived and easily fooled if we are not in regular contact with the truth and the truly displayed wisdom that the Lord reveals in His Word. The youth may expect to receive knowledge. The Hebrew word da'at means that the needed information is here for the young man to outgrow the foolishness of youth, while mezima offers the cure to the impetuous and compulsive or rash nature of youth, and that brings such pain and destruction. To think, all of these amazing, intangible, yet vitally important things are offered up in the exciting study of the book of Proverbs. We'll pick up next week on verse 5 in our next session and see what this book specifically offers us. But for this week, remember, God has given us the information we need to become skilled at the art of living. It is not just about our theological beliefs, but about all of our relationships, habits, and practices, everything from our diet to our activity, from our marriages to our work relationships, from our relationship to God to our relationship to money, and will come up in the study of this book, so that we may live in accordance with God's wisdom, regardless of what circumstances may come our way. So until next time, grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love.